Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heck.
And I'm Jason Jones.
And today we have a very well-organized schedule of topics.
As always. Much thought was put into these, by the way.
Yes. Topic one, movie cliches.
Ooh.
Yeah, things that happen in movies that don't really make any sense. Topic two, HD remixes.
They're almost like following the Hollywood blueprint or something.
Yeah, since there's no next-gen games, we just get these HD remasters, and everyone's like falling all over themselves for them for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the first next-gen game, like Arkham Knight, and it's got pushed back to like spring or something?
Yeah, probably. Actually, isn't the next Assassin's Creed only next gen? Like, there's going to be two Assassin's Creed ones coming out for like PS3 and 360.
Yeah, it's like a completely different game called like Assassin's Creed Comet.
Yeah, because Unity is the one that's coming out on PS4 and Xbox.
Oh, okay. Well, it's about time to make a next gen game. Our third topic, I guess maybe we'll talk about the Destiny beta.
I suppose. I played it a little, so I guess we could talk about it.
Okay, that sounds good.
It was definitely something.
So that's the only new game that you've been playing is Destiny?
Yes, otherwise, as usual, just the old Republic.
It is your Destiny. Okay, let's see.
Found two more people that play, like real world people that I know.
Are they both Windows Phone users like you?
No.
It's like you got this your own little chess club or something.
It's like Drive Through a Wall of Fire Brad and then like SWAT Team Morgan, those two guys.
Oh, how's Brad doing?
Not too bad.
Is he still at Thermo?
No, he's elsewhere.
Okay.
But he's doing well.
I haven't seen that guy in a while.
And then like Morgan, I think he moved like out to Montana or something.
I thought he was going to join the FBI.
Maybe he did in Montana. I don't know.
What would the FBI do in Montana?
I don't know. Isn't that where the Unabomber was from? There must be something to do out there.
Isn't it like a giant state full of cows? Maybe there's a cow. I know. They can examine cow mutilations like X-Files.
Yes.
Yeah.
I bet that's what he does every day.
Because, you know, Mulder had to train with machine guns. That would have been cool to see Mulder mow down some aliens. I guess you never watched that show, did you?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was definitely a show, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little dated, but, you know, whatever.
I remember it was, like, the thing back when it was on.
It's
like,
better than Fringe.
Hmm. Nobody says, call me Fringe in it, do they?
Nobody says not that in Fringe.
That's right. That was our interpretation of what Fringe could be.
Oh, what, the reboot of Fringe?
Yes.
He's the best agent we have. Call me Fringe.
Yep.
I am the Mad King who lights himself on fire or something.
See, that's what they should do. They should make, like, a movie off of that TV show and then have that scene in it. Where he's just like, call me Fringe. We have a title.
I still gotta finish that. There's all these shows on Netflix. I haven't watched Netflix in forever. It's like, why do I keep giving them my money? I guess it's not that expensive. But
yeah, I've watched stuff
I could buy beer with that money.
It's like $10, though.
Yeah. You could buy beer with $10.
You can buy beer. You can buy, what, probably 8 or 9 spotted cows with that?
Well,
depends where you go.
Yeah, like, some places, six-pack is $7.69.
I actually found it for $7 at... Is it the new hippie store next to me that has it for that, or is it the
Woodman's?
Cops? I was sale, somewhere and it was $6.99. So,
oh, here's what you got to do, Jones. Go to Cops over here at like 8:30 at night on a Tuesday.
Okay.
It was filled with unescorted women. I couldn't believe it.
Nice.
I don't know why. Maybe they all worked late at WPS and they're like on their way home to cry themselves into their novel of 50 Shades of Grey.
Were they all buying bottles of wine?
That I don't remember.
Okay. Because then that would probably work.
For whatever reason, I've worked late, like, every day since I've been back from my Texas trip.
I can't believe it.
I hadn't been, you know?
Well, I know, yeah. You were saying you actually remembered what it was like to just, like, go home and not have things to do for
a
while.
Of course, not do anything productive, but that's fun.
Yeah.
I played through Tomb Raider and Wolfenstein. And...
Oh, you played through Tomb Raider?
Yeah, I did. Didn't I tell you that?
Maybe you did. It's a hell of a game. You probably did on the last podcast. People are probably like, God, Jones, you're a moron. he said on the last
well,
show.
Well, people think that already, so it's okay.
I know, so I'm just reinforcing that for them.
I thought it was really good. I'd heard it was good. Just like Maker Faire Detroit, I'd heard it was good, and then why was I surprised that it was good?
Yeah, it's Uncharted with boobs.
Yep, because Uncharted was with Tomb Raider with
without boobs.
Oh, we could make an awful joke there, but we won't.
Yes, we could.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that would...
Oh, we're so evil.
Yeah.
You know, World War Z was a pretty solid movie.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, actually.
I want to see, a spinoff of that Israeli... This Israeli soldier chick with, her hand missing.
Yeah.
I want to see, a movie about her.
That'd be pretty badass.
It could be called World War... I don't know. They'll probably make a sequel to it.
World War Shalom.
What's the next character in the ASCII alphabet? It was probably left bracket.
World War left bracket.
Just increment it one in ASCII. Oh, God. I program too much. Yeah. So Tomb Raider was pretty good.
Yeah. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. That's one of those where I wouldn't even mind playing through it again someday.
Yeah. I have an SSD now, so I try to uninstall stuff.
I need to get off my ass and buy one of those.
Oh man, it's
I still haven't done it.
Well, I got a pretty big one. I got a terabyte one, so it's not like I'm running low on space. I'm not like Mike or Tusk. I was like, oh yeah, I'll get my 128 gig SSD with Windows 7, and you can install I don't suppose you probably have noticed all these modern games are huge now.
Oh yeah.
Because every game can assume a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So the game installs went from 8 gigs to 40, which is good. I mean, next gen finally happened.
Yeah. Well, and that's I haven't looked at how big the Star Wars Old Republic one is, but I know World of Warcraft's this way too, where, all these expansions come out for and the patches that come out for these games are huge.
Battlefield 3 got pretty bad by the end.
Yeah. So it's I'm sure that thing takes up a pretty hefty chunk of real estate. See, I was looking, they got 500 gig ones that you can buy for around the mid 200 range, which
that seems
pretty
good.
And I'm that would be more than enough space. And I mean, what's the worst that happens? I run out of space, so I buy another SSD and make that my D drive, and then I just install shit to that.
I have a spinner D drive, and that's where I put all my install files and whatnot.
Yeah.
The best thing about it is it doesn't have the Windows hangover. It's you boot up Windows and everything is ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of it being okay, now I'll wait two more minutes.
The screen's up, but you can't do anything. Nope. Yeah, it boots in I don't know, 7 seconds, if that.
Yeah. I know Parker was saying his booted before his monitor would wake up. It would already booted into Windows.
On my computer, this one doesn't have an SSD. Yeah, so I work on my computer at home, then I come in here and it's oh my God. But I don't, whatever, I can live with it. Oh, I'm just too lazy to reinstall everything on this computer here at work.
That's part of my problem too. It's oh God, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, but I just gotta do it.
Well, can you just hold off
point.
Until you get a new computer? How old is your computer?
That's pretty old now, because I bought that back right when Bad Company 2, it was a month or so after Bad Company 2.
Is it over 3 years old?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
The video card isn't, and the memory isn't, and all that, so...
Yeah, you can get by then.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfectly fine. I mean, if I put an SSD in that thing, there's no reason why I can't keep using it for years yet.
I still have my old i7 laying around, my extra one. I should sell it on eBay or something. I got took. I sold my Neo Geo to Sean, and he was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to fix this. I think he was, giving me, the Pawn Stars lowball.
Okay.
Well, no, we'd already agreed on a price, but he's like, oh, man, I got to reinforce this and this and this. And then, I should have done my research, because I guess my game collection was, worth... I didn't realize the games were worth that much.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but they were. I gave him all the games but one. I kept Neo Turf Masters.
On the green.
But I figured, hey, I'm paying him to get rid of this. I'm like, whatever, I don't care.
Well, yeah, shit, back in the day, those Neo Geo games were expensive. When they were new, they were expensive as hell.
Are you thinking about the AES or the MVS?
I'm thinking of, the one that was the home system.
The
AES. That's what that was?
Yeah, MVS was the video arcade system.
Because I remember when I was a kid, I'd get, whatever, Electronic Gaming Monthly or whatever gaming magazine, and in the back, they'd have, the price listings for these games, and the Neo Geo was always, the untouchable dream, where you'd see these games listed and it's $150 for the game or whatever.
There was a lot of RAM on the cartridge as well, and there's just you know, it might have like a Nintendo game that might have two masked ROMs on it, where Neo Geo was like 20 masked ROMs.
Well, and that was back when, like, the Neo Geo game that you played at home, I mean, it was basically like an arcade game.
It was the same thing, yeah. It was literally the same system. Well, there's still... So the AES games are expensive because they're rare, because, of course, nobody had that back in the day.
Yeah.
And there's something like the AES Metal Slug, the home version, it's easily over $1,000 on
Holy
eBay.
Holy shit.
But, yeah, Sean was something. He got $170 from my Magician Lord. So wow. I guess the prices have gone back up on Neo Geo, because my most expensive Neo Geo game was Neo Turf Masters, which was like $70.
Yeah,
because
you bought all those used. And
yeah, but, so. I mean, they are, I didn't. I guess they added up, though, but whatever. I got my use out of them.
Yep.
Like, some of them you get for, like, $20.
Hmm.
The Magician Lord was a launch title.
Yeah.
Of course, that Super Castlevania 4 that I bought cost me a pretty penny. God, the game has bad slowdown.
I wonder if I have that still. Because I bought that, you know, like, back when it was new, Castlevania 4.
Take it to the, you know that game place by FedEx Kinko's cigar shop? We buy gold over by Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I bought mine. I bet you could sell it.
I have to look and see what the hell I have. I might have sold that one a long time ago. I don't know. I've still got a bunch of my old games. I just need to get rid of them.
The Nintendo Super Nintendo stuff is going up right now.
Is it?
The Atari stuff took a dive because I think everyone who's into Atari is like now driving motorcycles or something.
Because I've got like, I think I've still got Chrono Trigger around, which is rare anyways.
You have a Snatcher.
Yeah, that I can never sell though. That's,
yeah, know,
that's special.
Chrono Trigger is probably worth like $70.
Yeah, it's basically worth what it cost when it was new. So
you should just sell it on eBay, and then you get like the retail price. They're not going to get that in the store.
Yeah, that's what I figured with some of that stuff. I'd go and kind of look around on eBay, see what it's going for. And
there's a website you can check out. I can't remember what it was called. It was like VG Price, or it's basically a website that scans eBay and like looks at what prices old games have been selling for, not asked, actually selling for.
Oh, I think you told me about that. Yeah. Because I did look at that one night.
Yeah. So. I realized I had like three Nintendo games I didn't realize were expensive, for instance.
Yeah, weren't you saying like Sunset Riders is really expensive?
Yeah, and then Bucky O'Hare on the NES, Battletoads Double Dragon, which I paid $16 for, is like $70. And
jeez.
Mighty Final Fight apparently is my most valuable game. It was a Final Fight for the Nintendo by Capcom.
Really?
Yeah, it's got like these. It's actually it plays good.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $88.
Wow.
So I had no idea.
Huh. Nice.
So that's a good resource. I wish I had the name of the site, but just search video game like prices that. And yeah, you can basically see what your stuff is actually worth.
Yeah, I need to go through and look at what I have. I know I've still got a bunch of Nintendo and Super Nintendo and Genesis games floating around. I'm sure most of them are worthless, but there's probably a few gems in there.
No, even stuff like common games that everybody had. I mean, like Contra is like close to $20.
Really?
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Zelda's like almost $30.
Wow.
Yeah, that stuff is going back up in price.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess check out the site and sell your games for a great price. Yeah. I don't know if I don't really have that. I only have like maybe 45 Nintendo games. I only have like, for some reason, maybe I was drunk. I bought Super Star Wars off eBay.
Oh, that was a fun game.
Yeah, it's hard though. God, did we have anything else to do when we were kids? But like,
yeah.
Because I remember I beat that game.
Yeah, I did too. And then they made the Super Empire Strikes Back, Super Return of the Jedi.
Were they even harder?
Yes. I think I've got all three of those still.
I bet you they get more expensive the further you go in, because they probably sold less and less.
Yeah. I remember I loved the first one, though. It was like the best Star Wars game that had ever been
cool.
That point. So.
We should probably talk about our topics.
Oh, yeah. I guess we had some or something.
So, this morning I was listening to my new 3D printer, and it sounds like bagpipes when it runs. It does for some reason. Like, and it made me think about, you know, movies where there's bagpipes at a funeral. Because one thing you want to hear at a funeral is annoying bagpipes.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't want
that? And then we got to talking about how every funeral in a movie is really unrealistic.
Aren't most things in movies unrealistic, though?
Yeah. There it is. Like, things that are realistic in movies and things that are unrealistic in movies.
Yeah.
So the funerals, in the movies, first of all, it's always raining, which...
Yeah.
But then you always see them lowering the casket with everyone around it. I've never been to a funeral that happens. You leave long before the casket is put into the ground.
I have been at them before where you can see the guys who are going to fill the hole in are kind of like hanging out off in the distance. Like, that was something I had only seen in movies and stuff. And then I actually saw it for real at a funeral I was at one day.
Oh.
Because I saw them kind of like off over there and I'm like, oh yeah, those are the guys that are going to fill in the hole.
Did anyone throw a handful of dirt onto the casket?
No, I've never been around for that. Yeah, so...
Yeah, because everyone goes and gets, like, their crappy ham sandwiches at that time.
Yes.
And I've probably been to, like, you know, 10 funerals. And
yeah, I've probably been to around that many. Weddings.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm ching.
Or would it be 40 weddings?
40 weddings and 40 funeral nights.
Yes. For a while there, it felt like I went to 40 weddings.
When you were married?
Yeah. Well, there was like one summer where, yeah, I think I went to 5 weddings and then I was like in 2 or 3 of them.
And what do you have to say about that? We need to get, like, you know how they have that Darth Vader no button website?
Oh, yeah.
We need that for jones.com. Just buy Jones, buy your dad's website. I'm sure it's jonessomething.com. And then just make it...
See, what you should do is you should have that be the sound whenever you get, like, a text from me, that it would do that.
Oh, that's a good idea. It sounds like a lot of work, though.
Yeah,
too much. I gotta get rid of this phone. This phone is dragging.
Yeah, you've had that a while. And wasn't that... It wasn't exactly, like, the top tier.
No, it was, like, a year-old phone when I bought it. I don't know.
Ah, fuck it. It's only money.
I don't buy 5 phones a year. That's a waste.
Well, yeah, I don't get the people who do that or have, like, 3 phones at once or whatever.
Well, maybe that doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe they're drug dealers.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like I'll go on, like, some of these sites, like, you know, even, like, Windows Phone ones or something, and the guy will be like, oh, yeah, I had the Lumia 1020. I got the 1520. They're like, I've also got, like, an iPhone 5. I've got a Galaxy S, whatever. I'm like, what the hell do you need all this shit for? It's like pick a goddamn phone.
Why do you need 3 pinball machines, Jones?
Because I'm an asshole. That's why.
You have more than me now. I'm going
to
get rid of
this. Yeah, you're down to 1 now, right?
No, I have 2.
Oh, you got the cocktail, I guess, right?
No, I got rid of that.
Or shit, yeah, you got Space Shuttle, that's right.
I'll have no trouble selling Space Shuttle. Everybody tries to buy it. So
Parker wants it.
Yeah, Parker wants it. One of those guys that bought Paxton wants it. Sean wants it, and somebody else wants it. I can't remember who.
Sounds familiar. It's like, I think I got 3 or 4 people that would buy my Spider-Man in an instant if I wanted to sell it.
That's the nice thing about pinball machines. You can always sell them and get your money back and buy something else.
Unless you can't.
Like cell phones.
Yes.
So another thing that really bugs me in movies, people might think I put an edit there, but I didn't. Is when they use the mouse, they have to move their entire arm and shoulder.
Mm.
So the camera can see them using it.
Yep. It just always annoys me how every computer screen has like some just crazy like graphical interface with just random shit happening on it, so it looks like something's going on.
And the giant letters, the password.
Yes.
So the camera can see it. And this is while the image of the screen is projecting onto your face.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's that bright.
Was Alien the first movie to do that?
Might have been, actually, yeah. Like when she's in the main mother room or whatever
it
is.
And like when the ship boots up, there's like reflections in the helmets.
That might be, yeah.
Yeah.
Or did 2001 do that a little bit?
Gosh.
I mean, there's that one scene where he's...
Alien more recently.
I mean, there's that scene where he's in, like, the main brain room when he starts, like, pulling the memory and
all that.
It's
like a reflection.
So, yeah, it's not just a screen, I don't think.
Yeah. Did you ever watch 2010?
Yeah, it's actually a good movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like Psycho 2. It's actually not bad.
I never saw Psycho 2.
It does exist.
Yeah, I think 3 and 4 do too, don't they? Didn't they?
Well, I've only seen the second one and the first one.
I thought they made a few. Maybe I'm confusing that with The Exorcist, because I know they made a bunch
of those.
They made
3 Exorcists. Is
and then they exercise. Did The Beginning.
Let's see. So are there any things that happen in movies that are realistic?
I don't know if it always happens, but one thing I think about when I think of like a movie that depicted something so incredibly real I was amazed by it was the movie The Descendants. It's like a George Clooney movie from a few years ago that's from Alexander Payne, who did like Sideways and Election. And in the movie, it's like Clooney's wife gets in like this jet ski accident or whatever, and she's in the hospital, and she's basically hooked up to machines like keeping her alive.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of show how like they go from like, you know, having some hope about her coming back to kind of having the realization that, like, yeah, she's not going to recover, to them like kind of starting to take her off life support and all that. Not long before that, I had gone through that experience with my grandma, and so I had seen firsthand what that was like. And watching that movie, I was like, whoever wrote this, they've been through that shit, because that movie, it's like 100% accurate, like what that's like. Because it's like, for a while, you know, there's all this activity around the person, and then at a certain point, the nurses don't really come in the room anymore. You know, the person starts making kind of like strange sound, you know, whatever the hell it is. But when I watch that movie, I'm like, okay, there's no way in hell I'm letting my mom watch this movie, because of course it was her mom that had right. passed away. And I was like, it's going to be way too real for her to see that. So that's one thing, like in a movie that I saw, where I'm like, damn, that hit it right on the head. Nothing was sugar-coated about it. So that's not exactly something that happens in every movie, though, but, you know.
I thought of one. This is going to be a weird one, but Independence Day.
What, have you infected a alien mothership with a virus from a Windows 95 machine?
No, it seems like I watched that. I think I watched, like, a lot of movies the week 9/11 happened, because, you know, it was really depressing, obviously, and I just wanted to, like, you know, escapism.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I watched The Mummy the night of 9/11 happened. Yes. I got drunk and watched The Mummy. Anyway, and I watched, I think, like, then I was watching Independence Day, which I probably hadn't seen in, well, let's see, that came out in 1996, so I probably hadn't seen it in like 5 years, because I didn't watch it after the theater. But it's like the aliens attack, and they take Bill Pullman, the president, and they stick him on Air Force One, and then they fly around for like days on end. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
9/11. I mean, they put Bush on an airplane like after the kindergarten.
Yep, and just kept moving him around.
And
basically,
so a lot of the things that happened in Independence Day, you know, happened in 9/11.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I guess that's probably protocol or whatever. But
maybe they had watched Independence Day and they're like, you know, that worked for Bill Pullman. It'll probably work for Bush too. Let's do that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to fly a fighter jet. But yeah, I'm just saying it was kind of a striking parallel.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Huh. It was like, wow, this is let's see what else. Oh, Notting Hill, when Julie Roberts is going to go into his apartment and he quickly tries to clean it up as fast as he
can. Yes. Yep.
That was pretty funny.
That's a good movie. Yeah. I like that one.
What's some other ones where they movies are actually kind of realistic?
Feels like I should have some. I just know that one from The Descendants is the one that always comes to mind. Damn it. People are like, wait a minute, they didn't think about this topic in advance.
Yeah, we didn't have
they're
a whole
full
list
of shit.
Okay, let's go back to cliches then. Maybe that'll jog. Remember back in the 90s, like, there was this trend, like, whenever a car would come to a stop, it would go, like, all the cars had bad brakes in every movie.
Yes, yeah. That's how you know that they were stopping, I guess.
And if a scene takes place in the suburbs, you hear dogs barking, even though, as we know, if you're in the suburbs, you hear lawns being mowed.
Yep.
But lawn, who wants to hear that on camera?
It's not as exciting, I guess.
Because a dog bark is like, arf, 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 you know, it's like separate, distinct noises. Whereas a lawnmower is like, bleh.
Yeah. Plus, a dog barking could mean that there's, like, trouble afoot.
Like a Terminator.
Yes.
which they're rebooting.
Again. I mean, yes. Really, Salvation was a reboot.
No, it wasn't. How was it a reboot?
I mean, it basically was. I mean, I know it takes place after the other ones.
Claire Danes did turn into Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes.
But she was the same character. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Because all veterinarians can perform heart transplants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's in the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is it, too? Like, in romantic comedies, some of the... I mean, there just always has to be a fight at the end of Act 2, but...
Well, romantic comedies slavishly follow monomyth.
Yes.
And so the magic... Yeah, so the fight, that's what's called magic flight in monomyth. So that's usually, like, where Will Ferrell will be like, well, you're a smelly pirate hooker, and then he'll go back to what he was doing or go back to his bachelor
apartment. Yeah, he regresses, yeah.
Yep. Until, of course, there's the ultimate conclusion.
Yeah, they all... Everything wraps up nicely with a bow on top.
And then you become master of two worlds at the end. So, yeah. That's why any romantic comedy or comedy, you can pretty much always predict what's going to happen just because you know what will follow monomyth. Oh, I guess, should we explain what monomyth is? Or do we care?
Probably have before,
yeah,
I think.
Just, I guess, Google monomyth, like one myth. Price.com.
Yeah, I think one thing I appreciate with movies is the odd times when, you know, they don't necessarily have a happy ending or whatever.
Like Terminator 3.
Yes. Like, that was incredibly refreshing in that movie, you know, where it's like, I liked the whole concept of that movie that basically Judgment Day had only ever been postponed. Like, it was always going to happen. It was inevitable because humans are dipshits. And so I liked that. Like, I just recently watched Under the Skin. I won't give away what happens at the end, but it certainly isn't like a cheery ending at the end of that. So it was kind of refreshing to see that because, you know, most things have to be wrapped up with a neat little bow and everything's happy at the end and resolved, and that's not really life. So, which there's nothing wrong with having things being nice and neat and happy because, you know, a lot of times life's a pain in the ass and you want to escape from that. But sometimes it's nice to see a movie where it treats things as they really are. So.
Well, movies just never end anymore. I mean, they always have open endings. Like, what happened to just, like, here's your medal, Han Solo. Here's your medal, Leia.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, she didn't get a medal. Did Chewie get a medal?
Chewie got fucked out of a medal. It was like Luke and Han got medals, and then Chewie's just, like, hanging out.
Maybe they didn't have one in his size. Well, you know what it probably was? I mean...
Yeah, they didn't have a neck band.
Well, no, Carrie Fisher probably wouldn't have been able to put it on him.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, he would have, like, bent over and then, like, tipped over from having
like,
it bent
over.
But, yeah, it's... that's the one thing, like, I used to watch a lot more kind of, like, you know, indie or obscure films, and then I got away from that. But, I mean, I think that's where you go if you want to see things where they... are just a complete story, because they're not trying to build, like, this franchise when they make, like, an indie movie. It's just, like, they've got a story to tell, and they tell it.
You think that's what plagued Amazing Fake Spider-Man 2? It's like, it sounds like they were, like, trying to set up 5 new movies instead of just making a movie.
Yeah, because didn't they have, like, a whole shitload of villains, or at least, like, they show up in it?
I think there was, like, 3.
Like, I haven't seen it, but...
And I never will.
That's the problem, yeah. Everything, like, I'm sure they were trying to do some sort of bullshit, kind of like what Marvel's done with...
Well, yeah, everybody wants to have the Avengers now.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, we can set these up and then have, like, spin-off movies, and... Because aren't they doing, like, Sinister Six or something?
Yeah, they
want
to do Sinister Six and Venom and another Spider-Man, and...
Jeez.
It's like, just make one movie. Like, I guarantee you Batman versus Superman is going to be a flaming pile.
Yeah, they just keep putting more and more into it. And Big Shock, like, Wonder Woman's outfit's basically devoid of color, I noticed.
Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's, like, a hint of, like, copper to it or something. But it's, like, yeah,
can't
it's very
have, can't have color.
Gotta dull.
Desaturate all the color out.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I couldn't see that coming.
See, that's where movies are becoming, like, video games are all turning brown.
Yeah.
Chest-high walls. Yes, I think they're going to... put in, like, that cyborg guy from the Justice League, and, like, they're cramming... I'm sure the characters will barely... It's going to be a mess.
Well, I knew it was going to be in trouble when they said they were putting Wonder Woman in it, because I was just like, okay, it's already big enough having freaking Batman and Superman in it, but it's like, oh, now we're going to jam Wonder Woman, and then I think, like, Aquaman's going
to
be in it, too.
Well, they have to go right from this to Justice League. They have to get there as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess, I'm sure. Yeah. And the thing that sucked is, like, I liked Man of Steel. I know it's not a super popular opinion. But I was like, finally they did a Superman movie that I actually liked as an adult. Because, like, the original ones, I enjoyed them as a kid. Now I just can't watch them, which, you know, whatever. But it's like, finally they made, like, a decent Superman movie. But then it's like, right away, the sequel, they can't just make another Superman movie. It's like, oh, we got to put Batman in it. We got to put, like, Wonder Woman. We got to put all these other freaking characters in it. It's like, just make another goddamn Superman movie. But no, can't do that. Bunch of pricks.
I'll probably go see it, but I don't really care.
Oh, I'm sure I'll see it. And that's
And
that's the problem. It's like oh, we're pissed about it, but we're still going to see the guy.
It's like Batman and Superman are in the same movie. It's like, big fucking deal.
I mean, it would be cool if they actually do the storyline from the comics, which, you know, they have the V in the title, so hopefully that's the case. Although, when that comic came out, it was in the Cold War, and so it was a bit more interesting because of that, but...
It's like, why does everything have to be... It's like Universal wants to launch a connected universe of classic monsters now, and starting with their Mummy reboot, which keeps getting pushed back. And it's like, my God, just make one movie and tell a story, like... Yeah, I mean, we're definitely now, we finally got past the Dark Knight age of movies. Now we're in the Avengers age of Ultron, where everything has to be this giant connected universe, and you have to get there as quickly as possible. I mean, Iron Man could have sucked ass, and then...
None of this would have happened.
Yeah, but obviously it didn't. I don't know. It's like they just don't want to get there organically. I just want to see one movie with one story that's complete.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? That's what I say. Basically, if you want that anymore, you can't look to, like, you know, the big Hollywood system. You got to look to, like, some of these, like, smaller movies, you know, that are made by, like, you know, somebody that just has a story to tell, and that's all it is.
There were four J.J. Abrams links to Planet of the Return of the Apes, or whatever it was called.
Giacchino,
Kerry Russell, the guy from Fringe, and Matt Reeves, who directed Cloverfield, which was produced by J.J. Abrams.
That's who it was. I was trying to remember who the hell that directed it today.
Hey, have you seen Cloverfield?
No. And I never will.
That's the inside joke. I asked, how many times have I asked you that?
I don't know. Well, there was that one goddamn day where you asked it twice, and the span of time between the two askings was less than the runtime of the movie, so there was, like, no way I could have actually watched the movie.
What if you would have went into a time vortex?
Dale was there too, and I was just like, what the fuck, it's like 45 minutes past, there's, like, no way I could have watched the goddamn movie.
You know, I'll probably see you, like, on, like, the PlayStation, like, Jason Jones is watching Cloverfield, even though it doesn't say that. And then I could text you, hey, have you seen Cloverfield?
It's like, I'm doing it right now, God.
I don't know why I even ask you that, because I know you wouldn't like it. First of all, you would get motion sick from it.
Yeah,
probably.
Because
it's all handheld.
It's basically the Blair Witch Project with, like, a monster.
It's
or
Blair
something.
Witch Project meets Godzilla.
Yeah, so... Yeah, screw that movie. I don't care.
Okay, we got a new Tom Cruise movie. It's Starship Troopers meets Groundhog's Day. Okay, green light. where were we?
I don't know. What the hell were we talking about?
We were complaining about something.
Like, we were bitching about the, you know, Justice League. And then I was just saying, you know, like, basically you have to go to indie movies if you want a, you know, complete story told in one film anymore.
Yeah,
it's just how it is. It sucks, but it's the reality of the situation.
Is it just that we're older, or it just seems like they used to make interesting big-budget movies that told a complete story and got it over with?
Yeah, I mean, that's what sucks. Like, now we basically have to, like, settle. I mean, like, the new Planet of the Apes movie was great. The first one was great. But again, it's not, like, a whole story. You know, it was, like, the first movie.
Kind of was.
It was pretty close, but I mean, at the end, it was obvious that it's like, oh, okay, they're setting it up so there can be another one.
Yeah.
You know, because they show, like, the virus going across the Earth, and you know what's going to happen, and the, you know, the second...
James Franco destroys the planet.
What a prick.
Well, he should have gone back to formula. He should have listened to his dad.
And then the second one, I mean, I won't give it away, but it's like, you know, it's obviously ends in a way that, oh, we can make a third one, and...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, that's the thing, too, with, like, the Marvel movies. Most of them, they're good movies, but, yeah, you know that they're just, like, a part of, like, this machine, essentially, and...
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I want to just watch one movie and be satisfied by, you know, that experience. I don't want it to be interconnected, you know. Maybe that's why people just are going to less movies. I mean, like, didn't they say the attendance is way down this year?
Yeah, like, they've been showing, like, I saw, like, some of the numbers where they were saying, like, at the same time last year, there were, like, 6 or 7 movies that had made more than $250 million in the summer, and so far this year there's been, like, 2, I think it is.
I think, like, Transformers made the most, but even it's, like, way below even the first Transformers.
Yeah, it won't make what the first one made domestically. No. You know, globally it will, because, like,
although
it's made more
in China, apparently.
Well, yeah, the thing's made shit tons of money in China.
Which means, I don't know, it's, maybe American audiences are just tired of these movies. I mean, I know we have cell phones and the Facebook and Netflix and all this jazz, but it's not just that. That can't explain everything.
Well, it's like I think we talked about this on one of the other podcasts, but it's like, you know, like Gravity was a good example. It was an event movie. It didn't really come off that way when it came out, but it became this event that people were aware of. Everybody was talking about it, and it made shit tons of money.
It told a complete story. There won't be a sequel.
Yeah.
Old people liked it, which is, you know, the forgotten quadrant.
Yep. And it made a bunch of money, and it was, you know, well-regarded and all that. It's like, it can be done, you know?
Yeah, or what's this, Lucy? The
movie. Yeah, that was another...
It's an R-rated movie starring a woman who really doesn't open movies, and it made, like, $44 million.
Yeah, it beat all their expectations.
I mean, that's... How many of these stupid RoboCop Total Recall... None of those make that much money. Not even close, and they're not even rated R.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's like people... I mean, it's basically limitless with guns, but if you make a premise, if you make a movie that people find interesting, they'll go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see Luc Besson actually directing something.
Yeah, I was surprised when it was like, you know, not just him like having the story idea or writing it, like he actually directed it.
Right, because he didn't write Transport. I mean, he didn't direct Transport.
No, he wrote it and stuff, yeah.
Oh, and he made that The Family movie with Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert De Niro, which is like... The cheesiest name for a movie ever.
Oh, yeah, he did do that.
Yeah, he directed that as well. I didn't see it, but he...
Because, yeah, didn't basically, like, The Messenger pretty much kill his directing
career? Pretty much, at least in America. He's done some stuff overseas.
Yeah, like France, he still was working, yeah.
Yeah. But he's an interesting director. I'll probably see Lucy on video or something.
Yeah.
But I thought his directing style was very interesting. Like, Professional was good.
Yeah.
Fifth Element is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's limitless, okay, with guns. All right, sold.
Here's $50 million. Go make it.
Hey, and Limitless had Robert De Niro in it, who was in The Family, directed by Luc Besson.
Mm-hmm.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
I never saw Limitless.
It's like, what is it? Bradley Cooper is a struggling writer or something, and there's this drug that will open up your...
The rest of your brain
or whatever. Yeah. And he starts taking the drug, and he gets super smart, but then he gets hooked on it.
Hmm.
And then Robert De Niro is like a politician, and he also looks a lot like Ron Paul, so it's really confusing.
Yeah,
and
he kind of does, the older he gets, yeah.
Yeah. He should dress up as Ron Paul for Halloween. I'm Ron Paul. Anyway...
He shows up at Martin Scorsese's Halloween party. He's Ron Paul.
I believe in limited government. I'm Ron Paul. Anyway, so then the senator guy is like, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to cut off your pill supply to ruin your life. And then Bradley Cooper, spoiler warning, is like, haha, I'm still smart and I kicked the habit. So it's more about like that. I think there is like a murder in it, but yeah. So I guess.
So wait a minute. He looks like Ron Paul and he wanted to put limits on things.
Oh, the irony. No, I don't know. No, he was limitless.
No, Bradley Cooper was limitless, but I thought I thought you said Robert De Niro was trying to limit him.
It was something Robert De Niro was like this super senator because he took the same drug.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he took and it then to, he's like, he didn't like there being another smart guy.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to cut off your supply of drugs and then you'll be dumb again.
Okay.
And then Bradley Cooper, see you, Felix, thanks again. Yeah. Bradley Cooper's like, I don't need the drugs anymore because I'm super smart.
Okay.
And then Robert De Niro / Ron Paul was like, no!
Sounds like a hell of a film.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I remember that it existed, but never watched it.
So what was that other thing we were going to talk about? Destiny?
Oh, there was the thing with like the remakes of video games and all that crap.
We get off subject so wonderfully.
That's fine. It's more organic, unlike these Hollywood movies.
Yes, organic free trade podcast.
Agreement.
Sustainable. Yeah, we can
cold
just,
fusion.
We can just erase cold fusion bomb. Oh God.
Mammal warning.
Hey, you gonna go see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Sure. It looks like it could be fun.
It comes out this Friday, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think tomorrow night actually, but not that I would go see it tomorrow night.
Jesse was talking about going to see it if you wanted to go see it like
Saturday or something, or
Friday, we were thinking maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good point. Just not Tuesday night at Marcus, damn.
Yeah, that's like the worst night to go to the movies, apparently.
Aren't they making a new super theater out that way?
Yeah, they are actually building it, finally. Because they bought that land years ago. But I drove past there, I don't know, a week or two ago, and there's actually, like, construction going on now, so.
Oh, we passed the super Amazon building on the way back from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I assume that's what it is. It's a ginormous building south of Milwaukee. Actually, there's two of them.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it looks like they just started. It'll probably be done later this fall. I don't know anything about construction. Or basketball.
I don't know anything about construction.
I would assume.
It's like, what the hell am I thinking?
I would assume it would be done. I mean, all they got to do is pour a concrete floor and make some offices.
And then just stick some beams in
it. Yeah, it's just a big warehouse. what were we talking? Oh, yeah, we were talking about the HD remakes.
Yeah, those things.
So they don't really make any next gen games. So they just take previous gen games and make them HD and people buy them, like The Last of Us Remastered.
Yeah, and then they did the Tomb Raider. What was it? Ultimate Edition, or Definitive Edition, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
And haven't they done that with like a couple of downloadable games too, I want to say? I can't think of them offhand.
Well, I think Zen Pinball is doing that, but everything you already bought will transfer. That was on joystick yesterday.
Unlike Pinball Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
There's something else.
There's been something else that they did, like an HD remake thing of, but... But yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, I bought my PS4 at the end of December, and I got Assassin's Creed Black Flag for it when it came out. And, I bought the Lego Marvel game. I got that through, like, the digital download thing because it was cheaper through there. But since then, I have bought exactly zero games for it. I don't really even bother downloading, like, the free shit you get with PlayStation Plus because it doesn't look interesting to me. I'm like, well, I'm not going to play that, so why waste the hard drive space? But yeah, so I'm like, what, 8 months in? 7 months in, I guess? And I haven't bought anything since the day I bought it.
All these games that are coming out, they're also on the previous gen consoles. Like, Destiny is on 4 consoles. So
yeah.
I mean, really, we really haven't seen the leap, although you said Assassin's Creed Unity is next gen only.
I believe it is, because they're making the two different Assassin's Creed games, and I think the one's supposed to be next gen only, so that'll be cool, and I'll definitely buy that because I liked Black Flag a lot.
And Arkham Knight is next gen only.
It's also next year only.
Everything is like back.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's like There's really no major... I guess with the Xbox, like, they made the new Forza game, and that was only on the Xbox One, I think. I don't know if anything else for it has been next-gen only or not.
But I guess they're just too afraid of cutting off the cash cow of the previous gen, although you gotta think sales are down. Aren't people tired of that stuff?
I don't know.
I mean, I haven't bought anything for those old consoles, and I think Skyrim was the last console game I bought. Probably.
Yeah. Well, you bought Assassin's Creed, right? Or was that...
Like, oh, I mean last gen console.
Oh, last gen, yeah. Last gen, yeah, it's... Oh, actually, the most recent game I bought was a last gen game, because I bought the FIFA World Cup soccer game.
Oh, yeah.
I think we talked about that last podcast, where it only came out on last gen because the install base is so much bigger, and of course, that's like a global game, and so... It made more sense to do that.
I don't like when people call console generation 8. I think it's 7. Because I think it's, let's see, Atari, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, GameCube, Xbox 360, which would make this the 7th gen.
So what, do people count like Pong or something as like a generation?
Yeah, I think they either count Pong as a generation or ColecoVision / Intellivision, but...
I count those as the same as, like, the Atari generation.
The Nintendo was such a difference that, it was basically Nintendo or before Nintendo.
Because you don't differentiate between, like, the 2600 and the 5200 and the, was there a 7800, too, for Atari?
Yeah, like, 7800 would technically be Nintendo generation, though.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because it was supposed to come out in 84, but it wasn't actually released until, like, 87.
Okay. Yeah,
after Atari got bought out by Jack Tramiel, he hated video games.
Yeah.
Which is why he bought Atari.
That makes sense.
Yeah, anyway, he shelved a lot of the stuff they had ready to go, including the 7800. It was actually a pretty decent system.
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't as good as the Nintendo, but it was a lot better than the 5200.
Yeah.
It had some limitations, though. But yeah, I would say, Pong doesn't count.
No.
Because it's not a programmable game console. So, yeah. I mean, if you look at something like the ColecoVision, it was 5 years after the 2600. And it was a lot more advanced. But ColecoVision was only 1 year before the Nintendo.
Okay.
ColecoVision was 82, and Nintendo, well, in Japan, was 83.
So you could kind of count those as being the same generation, probably.
Yeah.
More so.
So it's kind of like, you know, the Jewish calendar or something. I say we're on the 7th generation. Because you know the Jewish calendar is like the year 3500 or something, you know.
But does that mean anything?
No, not really.
It's just semantics, basically.
So the only game I care about, the only game I'm looking forward to, is Fallout 4, which of course is not announced.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess I'm getting old. I just don't really care about. I mean, I play Titanfall still, but.
That's what I was saying to my buddy at work. You know, like he's all big on Destiny and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, you know, it was all right from the beta and all that, you know. But, and he was like, you know, telling me about stuff or talking about this game or that. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Something happened at some point where, like, I just don't give a shit about most of this stuff anymore. It's like, it takes, like, something really special coming along for me to, like, care. Like, I was actually really surprised I liked Black Flag as much as I did, but I think it was because they kind of, like, finally played with the genre a bit. I mean, they added in, like, the pirate ships and that whole mechanic.
Yeah, they should
just
make a pirate ship game.
And, you know, it was pretty cool and all that, but, you know, it's like...
Assassin's Creed, Black Flag, Blackbeard's Gold.
But that's like, for me, I'm like, I'm perfectly content that when I want to play a video game, I go and fire up Star Wars and I go and play that. You know, it's like... None of this other stuff that's coming out really excites me, you know? It's like, ooh, I can play, you know, Halo banged Borderlands on a drunken night and pooped out Destiny or whatever, and like...
Just like Billy Ray Cyrus did.
Yeah. Popped out a Miley, but...
Well, her name is Destiny Hope Cyrus.
Oh, really?
Yep. Wow. Why do I know this?
I don't know.
And her nickname was Smiley because she smiled all the time, so they took off the S and then made Miley.
Wow. I'm a little disturbed that you know this.
Yeah, me too.
So, but yeah, I think we're kind of, maybe it's just that we're getting older and it's like, eh, whatever. I don't know.
There's definitely something that, you know, everyone says like once you, you know, once you turn 40, everything goes to shit. And I can, I'm not 40 yet. I've got a couple years to go, but yeah, you can start to feel it, you know, like I would say like in the last year, like I used to never be able to sleep on airplanes. I used to never be able to take naps. And like in the last year, like, it's like I can get tired enough to do that now. So I think things are starting to wear out.
Yeah, that's the same. I was talking to somebody about at work about that too, like how I used to be like a total night owl, you know, like weekend comes around, I'm up till like 2 a.m. all the time. It's like now the weekend rolls around, it's like it's about 11, 11:30 at night. Man, I'm like running on fumes usually. I just like pass out in my chair or something.
Yeah.
And then like the next morning, like I used to sleep for just ridiculous amounts of time. Now, no matter how late I managed to stay up the night before, I can't sleep past like 8 a.m. anymore. It's just weird.
That's happened to me this week. I don't know, because I didn't get enough sleep on Saturday night. But ever since I got back from Detroit, it's like, like this morning I woke up without the alarm clock. I get 7, because usually my alarm clock goes off at 8 and I get here by 9.
Yeah.
I woke up like at 7:30 and I was here by 8:10.
Yeah.
Like, I'm turning into an old person.
Yeah. It's weird, but yeah, it's like there's some sort of biological shift that certainly happens.
And eventually you'll be going to, you know, Kitchen at 6 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was probably up to like 12:30 last night. And
yeah, that's the thing I've noticed, yeah, because, I mean, there will still be times where, yeah, I'll stay up, you know, like, I'll stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning. It's just not as common as I used to. But even on those nights, yeah, on the weekend, maybe 8:30 I'll sleep till. But, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm sleeping until 10:30 or 11 like I used to. Or back when I was a teenager, like, my friends knew not to even bother to try to find me until after noon on the weekend, basically.
I put a blanket up in my bedroom on the window because, what was it? Like, if you tried to sleep in, like, I try to sleep in if I can, when I can.
Yeah.
But if, like, what, like about 9 p.m. or 9, I'm sorry, 9 a.m., especially in the winter, the sun's at a low angle. So even with the blinds closed, it'll get through the slits and hit me in the face.
Yeah.
So I put the blanket up so I could sleep in, and it helped.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about going to England because I don't know if I can. I can sort of sleep on planes, but.
Yeah, I haven't flown much, but that's something that I don't really have the ability to do. Like, the most I can do is just kind of close my eyes and just kind of, like,
I know
try
I,
to, like, relax or something, but I can't actually sleep.
I know I slept on the way to San Francisco because it was like, we were going to show American Hustle, and then I woke up, and it was like the part where they find the fake lawyer's office. So I know I slept for at least an hour and 50 minutes, or however long that movie is. So
nice.
Yeah. So my plan is...
So there's benefits to aging.
Yeah. My plan is to drink as much as I can and still be able to legally get on an airplane. Because, yeah, if you're drunk, they won't let you on an airplane.
Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose.
And then drink on the airplane and then pass out, hopefully. That's my big plan.
Nice.
I guess I could just buy a sleeping pill or I could just drink.
So when the hell are you going to England?
There's this thing called EMF. It's like this... it's actually at Bletchley Park where they did like the Colossus code breaking, all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
End of August.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's I've cool. never been to England before, so that should be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, we're going to go to like the Newark home office in Leeds, or, well, Premier for now.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to ride the tube. But, yeah. So.
That'd be cool.
But yeah, I'm worried about Pino sleep on the plane because it's like, it's something like...
I would figure that long of a flight, you would just kind of naturally sleep at some point. Because it's overnight, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like, I forgot. I haven't looked at my itinerary,
probably,
of course,
from
yet.
Philadelphia to...
No, it's from Chicago to Manchester. No, Chicago to Heathrow.
Okay, yeah.
But then from Heathrow, I have to go to Heathrow to London's Cross and then take a train like 2 hours north of Leeds. But the thing is, yeah, it is overnight, but the plane from Chicago leaves at like 4 p.m. on a Monday.
Oh.
And then I'll get there like at 5:30 a.m.
Oh, okay. Because of all the time
it's like,
zones.
It's like an 8-hour flight plus a 6-hour forward in time. Because it's plus 6 hours. Because it's...
That's only an 8-hour flight?
Oh, yeah, you're
It's got to
right.
be more
than 8
hours.
Because like it takes you 2 hours to get to the East Coast. Anyway, so that makes me worried too. Like, I'm not. I guess what I could do is stay up really late the night before, and like make myself super tired.
Well, I see what you're saying, because you're gonna leave at 4 our time. So really, when you're showing up in England, it's really gonna be like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. Yeah, like midnight, 1 in the morning. So it's not really night like we'd think of it. Like, you could potentially, like you said, you stayed up till like 12:30 last night or whatever it was. You know, so that'd be about the time you'd be thinking about going to sleep normally.
I'm sure everyone listening to the podcast wants to hear my plans to try to sleep on an airplane.
It might be interesting. Yeah. Or it might not be. I don't know.
I was thinking about getting one of those, like, blindfold things, you know, so you can't see anything.
Yeah, so it's all dark then, yeah. You should get something that makes, like, ocean sounds or something. And then, well, maybe you don't want that when you're on a plane flying over the ocean.
I have my noise-canceling headphones. I can just, like, play ocean sounds on my...
There you go.
On my iPad or something.
There you go.
So, yeah, the beta of Destiny. You played it, right?
Yeah, I played... What was it? There's, like, 3 different classes you can play. There's, like, a warlock, a hunter, and then, like, a warrior, I think it is. And the warlock looked the most interesting to me. So I played that one. I think you could get to, like, a max of level 8 in the beta. I only played it as far as... I think I made it to about level 5. It's an interesting game, for sure. It certainly plays like a Halo game in terms of, like, the combat and the gunplay and all that, which is certainly not a bad thing. It looks good, you know, for console game and all that, so... it's an interesting, like, hybrid that they're trying to make. So it's kind of like they're trying to take a shooter, but then also introduce MMO elements into it, and then kind of have almost like a Mass Effect thing going on a little bit with it. But yeah, it's like it's got, like, PvP zones, like how an MMO would, which is basically like your multiplayer battle zones and stuff like that, and it has kind of the MMO elements of, like, these instanced areas where you go into them and then there's other real players running around, like, kind of doing their own thing, and you can team up with them and kill shit or just, you know, kill it on your own, whatever.
It looked like Halo meets Borderlands meets Mass Effect.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah. Okay. And you can do, like, these things where you can form a fire team, so that's kind of like just grouping up together and running through content. And I guess they're gonna have things, like, I didn't get to experience them, but I guess they're gonna have things that are sort of like a raid in an MMO, where you can get, like, a group of 6 people together, I guess, and then you go through this instanced content and try to fight your way through it.
Here's a question: what about Peter Dinklage's acting?
I didn't even realize he was in it. Like,
he's,
do you know
the robot
who,
voice, right?
He's the voice of, like, the cube thing that's floating around with you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he had that famous line about the wizard on the moon.
I guess I didn't even realize that
it's
that,
like,
was
a meme
him
now.
Hmm.
Because he's like, that wizard came from the moon. It's like this really
so he
bad
just, like,
delivery.
Phoned it in.
Yeah. And people are like, well, he's a robot. So, well, Cortana was a robot.
Yeah, and she was a thief, but she kept what she stole.
She was all up and...
Yeah, she was all... slapping her shit all over the place. But yeah, it's like, I don't know, I mean, I didn't probably play it enough to fully form an opinion, but I did fire up a hunter and played a little bit with that, and with my warlock, I made it out to the tower thing or whatever it is, which is kind of like the hub almost, I guess. And it's kind of fun, but I mean, I don't see it being a lot of fun to play solo. I mean, it's definitely a game
like
to group up with friends and play, and I think it could be fun like that. Right now, it seems like kind of this weird, like, hybrid experiment of where they're trying to, like, marry these different genres of games, and it feels not wholly connected, I guess, at this point, but maybe once I get to play more of the game, it'll tie together. It's certainly not bad, but I'm not, like, wetting myself all over it like a lot of people seem to be at this
point. It seems like a lot of people are going to get it.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, my hope for it is that it's like how when Halo 3 and Borderlands came out on the Xbox, and it was like, you know, 80% of your friends list was playing that game, and so you could just, like, boom, you know, jump in with your friends and play the shit out of it.
Yeah, I never really... how do I put this? Borderlands never really impressed me, but everyone played it, so that's why I played it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So that's kind of how I feel about this one, is that, you know, hopefully that happens. And but yeah, it's kind of neat. I mean, it's got, like, some of the MMO stuff with, like, ability unlocks, and, you know, you can get different gear based on your levels and stuff. I mean, they do some of that sort of stuff, like, in shooters, too, I guess, but I've been playing, you know, MMO more recently, and it feels, you know, similar to that in a lot of ways.
Do you think it'll be a success? Because apparently they told everyone how much money they've spent.
Oh, yeah? What'd they spend on
it? Something like, between the development and the marketing, something like $500 million.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'm sure half of that is marketing.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, Grand Theft Auto 5 is, like, the highest admitted budget for a game, like $265 million.
Wow.
So it usurped Old Republic.
Yeah, because that was, what, like 200 or so?
Yeah, 200 or just under, I think, but a lot.
But yeah, I mean...
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that'll be a success, you know, I mean... You know, what's it got to sell? It's got to sell, like, at least 10 million... to be considered successful then, I guess.
I just like Tomb Raider. It's like, it only sold 6 million copies. Fail. Although playing Tomb Raider, I mean, there's a lot of production value in that game. I'm sure they spent a pretty penny on that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it very easily, it could have had Nathan Drake in it, and it would have been an Uncharted game. You know,
it's, yeah, it was just as polished. I mean, I think the combat was almost a little bit more polished.
Yeah, I liked it better. It was cool, and it was just as epic as, like, Uncharted 2 was, so...
Yeah, Uncharted, maybe especially Part 3, the combat got kind of repetitive.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here are the same enemies again, blah, blah, blah. I'll still buy Part 4, though.
Oh, yeah. That'll be just for next gen.
A Thief's End.
But that's probably not going to come out until, what, like 2016 or something?
Yeah, no, it won't come out to PlayStation 5.
No, that's when the next Gran Turismo will come out.
Exponentially higher polygon counts.
But yeah, like the whole remake thing, it is kind of funny that it's almost like video games in a way are sort of following Hollywood a little bit. You know, it's like, oh, this is like easy money to make. Here, we'll just kind of put a little extra polish, or we'll throw in like the extra content with this edition and sell it again.
So
and
it's like it's like in one movies when they take an older movie and they make it 3D and re-release it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big budget movies are, you know, we're spending $200 million on Destiny, so... It has to be like XYZ, you know. It has to, basically, it's, I don't want to say safe, but based off existing genres and nothing really new or crazy. I mean, well, yeah, I think pretty much everything that comes out, just like Hollywood, everyone's copying Avengers. Everyone in video games is trying to copy Call of Duty still.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, it's like that's what they say, that's what happened to Resident Evil. Like, Resident Evil 6 tried to turn to Call of Duty and, like, people didn't like it. It's like almost like, do your own thing, like Tomb Raider.
Yeah, you're going to have an audience. You know, people want that, and not everybody wants Call of Duty, you know, newsflash.
It's like, oh, well, even if we make a fraction of Call of Duty's money, it's like, you're not Call of Duty.
Do people still buy Call of Duty games? Like, did that Ghost game sell at all?
I think they've been on a downward trajectory for, like, at least... last four titles.
Yeah, you'd have to think at some point it's gotta
like
fall off.
Ghost wasn't good or something.
Yeah. I didn't really hear anybody talk about
it. Well,
it
had a dog.
And it had like a gunfight in space, apparently.
Because if I'm going to space, you know, I'm going to bring a bunch of guns.
Well, yeah.
I mean, in case you have to shoot somebody in space.
You might run into a commie up there or something. Who knows?
So, I think that's what happened.
It probably did.
You fire a gun in space, would it propel you backwards?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Would you even be able to fire it?
I think I saw Vsauce regarding that, and you would.
Okay.
It's like the same reason you could fire a gun underwater is the explosion creates enough of a pocket.
Okay.
But I think it's at a diminished effect. Of course, then there wouldn't be any resistance at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't say it could go on forever, but...
It'd go on a long time.
That'd be cool to, like, shoot some bullets at Mars.
Yeah.
Wait, that would never work. You'd never be able to hit it.
Yeah, how could you hit it?
Well, I mean...
That'd be pretty
theoretically
impressive.
Theoretically, you could, But you'd I guess if you did all the calculations, I mean, shooting a bullet at Mars is no different than shooting a rocket at Mars.
Yeah, you just have to know, like, okay, I got to shoot it this way, and it's got to have this velocity, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but when they launch things that far, they even have to take into account the added momentum added by sunlight hitting objects.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it all affects the trajectory of objects. Apparently that Opportunity rover is still working.
Yeah, it's still running around. It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. It's going to become self-aware soon. Yeah. Like, what am I doing with my life?
And then it'll come back to Earth and kill all of us.
Yep. And then want to merge with Creator.
V'ger will show up.
Must merge with Kirk Unit. I am Bald Chick. This movie is way too long. Like all movies. Except for Roadhouse.
Before they were all too long, it was too long.
They are all too long. You know the goddamn Batman v Superman is like, how are they going to fit everything in a movie? Oh, it'll be like a 2-hour and 45-minute movie.
That's exactly what it'll be. I mean, shit, Man of Steel was like 220, 230, somewhere in there.
Transformers
range.
4 Rise of Marky Mark was 2 hours and 45.
It's in that area, yeah.
What? That's almost as long as Dancing with Wolves.
It's ridiculous.
It's because of digital distribution. I know I've said this a million times, but because I was talking to Allison about that one time because I was doing the show notes for an episode, and we used to get the feedback from Revision 3. It's like, oh, you had to keep the episodes on under 15 minutes. But as they become less and less involved, the episodes get longer. Mm-hmm. And I was asking Allison about it, and I'm like, wow, these episodes are getting really long. And she's like, well. It's like people don't care how long they are, and it's easier to make a long episode.
Yeah,
because you don't have to cut it down.
You don't have to spend as much time editing
and trying to like keep what's relevant and
yeah,
like Django Unchained could have easily been 20 minutes shorter. Easily,
yeah, they could have just cut the whole end off it basically.
Yeah, I was really liking that movie up until it was too long.
Yeah,
Spielberg was like that for a while too.
It's like,
why can't you just go to Candyland or whatever it's called and kill everyone the first time?
Yep, it was great.
Yeah.
End there, but no.
Yep. Oh, well.
Yeah, and Spielberg.
Spielberg. Like, Minority Report was too long. AI was too long.
I mean, I love those movies still.
Catch
but
Me
I mean,
If You Can was too long.
I certainly see where you could
each one of those movies have a point where they could have ended, but they didn't.
Well, yeah, like Minority Report, you could have had the awesome downer ending where it ends with him like in the containment area when like it goes dark. You could have just had the movie end there.
AI could have ended with him frozen under the ocean.
Yep.
The Terminal could have ended with him walking out of the airport. Catch Me If You Can could have ended with what's his face going to work for the FBI. There was like another 15 minutes of movie after that.
Yeah, the Terminal, that sucked how they did that, because the whole movie, it was like him in the airport. So at the end, it should have just been him walking out, and you don't have to see him go to that cafe or bar or whatever it was, because you know that's where he's going
to go. Like in The Truman Show, he walks out of the set, and then the movie's
and
over.
It ends.
Because that was the movie.
Yep.
Definitely.
See, I remember thinking that with The Terminal. I'm like, wow, this is really good. And it's like, oh, good. It's going to end with him walking out. And then it's like, oh, no. Now we're going to go to, like, the jazz bar
it's
thing.
It's an early 2000 Spielberg movie. It's not over yet.
Yeah. And it's like, it was talked about, you know, the audience is smart enough to know that it's like, he will go and do that once he gets out.
Yep.
We don't need to see it. If you really want to film it, you can film it and put it on the DVD as a deleted scene. And then people can watch it if they want to. But... yeah,
that's how I was reading about The Hobbit, and they're like, surprisingly, there's not that much extra footage in the extradition. It's like, yeah, because they left it all in the goddamn movie.
Yeah, it's like, how do you think they made three fucking movies out of it?
They're like, well, you know, Battle of the Five Armies, or what, The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
of the
begins, rises, dawn. And it's like, well, this is going to be the last Lord of the Rings. No, it's not. They'll make the
Silmarillion. Yep.
Even if it's unfilmable, they'll still make it.
Yep. If there's money to be made, they will make it. No doubt about that.
I still won't go see that third one.
I mean, it's like they made the freaking Hobbit. Half the shit in it isn't even really the Hobbit book. So why couldn't they do that with the Silmarillion?
Did you see the trailer for the Battle of the Five there and back again.
Is Evangeline Lilly like kicking ass?
No,
again?
The whole trailer is set to what's his face singing from Fellowship of the Ring. Remember the scene with Fringe?
Yeah, with Denethor.
Yeah, when he's eating that food and then.
So it's to that. Oh, it's to when it's Mary him singing, was singing like. Or whatever.
Yeah, it's all set to that. It's like, oh yeah, here's something from a good Lord of the Rings movie, juxtaposed onto a probably not so great one. Although maybe it's gonna get better.
Yeah, I mean the second one was better than the first.
I mean the Star Wars prequels. Well, although in hindsight, I guess
Attack of the Clones was pretty bad.
Yeah, because when you see it after seeing Phantom Menace, you're like, wow, things are happening in this movie. But yes, once you analyze it, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Obi-Wan stuff's cool and the rest of it's kind of crap.
Apparently, who was that guy? Topher Grace, the actor,
yeah,
edited the prequels into like one hour and 45 minute movie.
Yeah, I heard about that because I think he had a showing of it out in L.A. Yeah, somewhere like a few months ago.
And then someone like took his notes and like made like a 2.5 hour version.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it available like
no,
anywhere?
You can't find it anywhere. Of course, it's all taken down.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it might have.
It's something like Phantom Menace starts with the battle at the end with the Jedi. If you think about it, nothing in Phantom Menace really mattered.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really need it.
Because like if they would have had Anakin Skywalker as like 18, they could have cast like, yeah, I mean, because Natalie Portman's character didn't change, but Anakin's character changed, so it's like, you know, she is a lot older than him, and it would have been less jarring.
Yeah, yeah.
Less jar.
No. Hey, just remember Jar Jar Abrams.
Oh God, I sure hope Jar Jar is in the. I want to see Jar Jar in the new trilogy.
Oh, it would make me so happy. That would be so cool if he showed up. I'd be the only person in the theater that would be happy. Well, apparently you would be too.
I would be. See, well, I'm.
You'd be happy for different reasons than me, but
Jar Jar is not the worst thing about the prequels.
He's awesome.
He's not awesome, but
sure he is.
Jar Jar isn't as bad as the. I don't want to say the storytelling, like as the directing, and the acting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Natalie Portman is just as bad an actor in that movie as Jar Jar Binks. I mean, she's certainly more wooden.
Yeah. I think we've talked about that before, too, but it's like, when you watch those movies, you can tell, like, basically the only person who gets it is Ewan McGregor.
Definitely.
So.
Oh, and Ian McDiarmid.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, like, in Phantom Menace, you know, like, Ewan's the only one who's really in on the joke, it seems like.
Well, he doesn't even get to do anything in Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
He's just intergalactic space secretary in that movie.
And then he's like a detective in the second movie.
Yeah. And the third movie has a beard.
Yeah. And he's like a mentor.
Because Liam Neeson is dead, so someone has to be a mentor.
And Liam Neeson mentored him, so.
Yes. And Liam Neeson was a redneck and next of kin.
Did he mentor anybody in that?
He murdered people.
Yeah. Maybe that's how you learn to be a mentor.
Probably. Did he mentor anyone in Darkman? Did he have like a lab assistant maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. That'd probably be a reach.
Did he mentor anyone in Rob Roy?
No.
The reason we bring this up is because Liam Neeson mentors people every time he's in a movie. He's always a mentor.
Except I don't know if he mentored anybody, but he kicked Tim Roth's ass for raping his wife.
What about Taken?
Maybe he mentors his daughter in the second movie. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I'm sure it's crap. I didn't see it either.
But he definitely mentored people in Batman Begins and Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, yeah. He was Jesus Lion.
And then Phantom Menace.
Yep.
Like all three of those, he was mentor.
Wasn't he in that haunted house movie that Jan de Bont did? Was that movie called The Haunting?
The Haunting, yeah.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones. What happened to her?
She married Michael Douglas.
Yes.
And then disappeared.
Whose dad is still alive.
She was in Rock of Ages, I guess. I think that was the last thing I saw her in. And of course she was in Cancer Chef.
She was in that?
Yeah, she was the female lead.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, it's actually not bad. You know me, I watch about any goddamn romantic comedy for
even
some reason.
No reservations.
Yes.
I have no reservations about shooting the driver of this car.
Thank you for smoking.
We should probably wrap this up.
Yes. We've completely gone off the rails, as usual.
So maybe we'll see you on the Destiny Battlefield 4.
Oh, yeah. I think that comes out, what is it, early September?
September 9th. 9-9.
So we won't see you...
It's like the Dreamcast.
...there next time, but maybe the time after.
So, yeah, there'll be an August podcast, and then it'll probably be late, of course. So that next podcast, maybe we'll have played Destiny.
Probably not.
Why, you're not going to buy it when it comes out?
Well, no, but it comes out like September 9th. We'll probably have done the next podcast before
that. Well, but I'm at the next podcast.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Rise of the Planet of the Podcast of the Apes.
Begins.
Dawn.
Red.
Oh, I had this idea. You know how there was the Ridley Scott movie, Exodus? This Moses
yes,
movie?
Yeah.
They could make a prequel to it. It could have the most generic movie title ever. Genesis, Dawn of the Beginning. What do you think?
Rises.
Rise of Man.
There you
Genesis, go. Genesis, Rise of Man. All right, we'll see you next time.
Adios.